from the best-selling Heroes of History series. Emerald Books presents George Washington, True Patriot, by Janet and Jeff Benj, read for you by Tim Gregory. For information about other titles from this outstanding series that brings history to life, please visit ywampublishing.com or call 800-922-2143. Chapter 1. The Enemy. It was July 1775 when George Washington caught his first glimpse of the enemy. He stood, peering through his spyglass, at a battalion of British soldiers. Each soldier was dressed in a bright red coat and buff breeches. In unison, the soldiers swung around in drill formation, their muskets gleaming in the morning sun. Behind them were rows of cannons, lined up with military precision. The harbor was thick with British Navy ships, their decks scrubbed clean, and the Union Jack flying proudly at the top of each vessel's main mast. For a long time, George stood watching, a strange swirl of emotions playing in his head. There was no denying it was a glorious sight. He couldn't help but admire the British troops. Indeed, the British had not always been the enemy. George had been born a British subject, as had everyone born in the 13 American colonies. His older half-brother had fought for the English against the Spanish, and Mount Vernon, George's plantation in Virginia, was named after a British admiral. George himself had once set his heart on being an officer in the British Army. He had been a part of General Braddock's force when the British struggled with the French and Indians for control of the territory beyond the western boundaries of the colonies. Serving under General Braddock, George had found a grit and determination he did not know he possessed, and a flair for leading men into battle. And now, he was going to use everything General Braddock had taught him about waging war to fight against the army he had once served with. George Washington was now a patriot. He was one of the upstart colonists who were determined to drive the British out of the colonies. George's mother was not in favor of the undertaking. She thought the patriots could never organize themselves enough to fight the world's most powerful army. Maybe she was right. But there was no going back for George now. The stakes were too high. If the patriots had misjudged the number of colonists who would join their cause, or the determination of the British to hold on to their American colonies, they would lose the fight. If that happened, most of the ragtag band of patriot soldiers who had gathered to fight could go home again. But not George Washington. He was commander-in-chief of the new Continental Army. If he did not drive the British from North America, there was only one outcome for him. The British would hang him as a traitor. But then, the little boy born February 22, 1732, in the Tidewater area of Virginia, had a knack for making it against the odds. And George was almost certain, as he peered across Boston Harbor through his spyglass, that he could defeat the very army he once desperately wanted to be a part of.